Welcome to the Living Waters Church Podcast.
Well, as we move forward toward transition, we've been talking a lot about that. And as Linda and I prepare to step down from leadership in a couple of Sundays from now, I've really felt that it was important for us to talk to our church family about the changes that are ahead. And consider not only the important whys, as we did last week, but also our ways forward as this church on the move. And so this I'll speak today, and this coming Sunday, Luke is going to speak and conclude our series for us. You know, as I was preparing for this morning, I realized, of course, that it was the last time that I would be able to speak to you in this way, to provide a full message here as your lead pastor. And so there were lots of things going through my heart and my head, but I knew right away what I wanted to focus on here this morning, and that is what has been and will continue to be an absolutely indispensable part of our church ethos, and that is our unity, or as Paul says it, our harmony as a family. I'd like to just to begin with a bit of a biblical perspective of the importance of unity, using the words of Paul, who, as you know, is a great champion of church harmony. In Romans chapter 15, he writes kind of a benediction of sorts, and really what it is it's a prayer of hope. It's a prayer for deep unity amongst the people and what will result because of that. So Romans 15, beginning at verse 5, and what I'm going to do this morning is I'm going to use the Message paraphrase. Just I love the wording of this. It says this: "May our dependably steady and warmly personal God develop maturity in you so that you can get along with each other as well as Jesus gets along with us all. Then," I love this, "then we'll be a choir, not our voices only, but our very lives singing in harmony in a stunning anthem to the God and Father of our Master Jesus." Come on. It's a great picture. And as he's writing this, Paul is writing to a very diverse community. You know, his Roman audience was made up of Jews and Gentiles, slaves and free people. There were those who were rich, and there were those who were very poor. There were those among them that were very strong, and those who were weak. And Paul knew that the strength of the church was in large part dependent upon their connection, their shared heart for Jesus Christ. Without it, the church would not advance in mission. And without one another, its people would surely fail. See, the church's best way forward then, as it is now, was to stay tight and to stay together. And, you know, for Paul, this idea of unity was a lot more than just a theoretical concept one might discuss over coffee at Starbucks. Its practice was, in fact, essential to the very life, the very heartbeat of the church. So much so that he likened the church to the human body. Jesus, its head, and his followers, the rest of the body. While different, all connected, all interdependent, all aligned to him. 1 Corinthians 12, "The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, and some are free, but we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit." Well, we may not look exactly like Paul's Roman audience, but we can find some similarity for sure, because we too are a very diverse lot. I mean, if you look around the room today, we'll find a wide array of people, and each of us have our differences. We look different. We think differently. We've got different backgrounds in education. We have different passions and interests. We've got different jobs. Some are doctors and some are students and others are homemakers and others are farmers and some work in factories and some work in mills and some drive for a living and some care professionally for others and some serve in law enforcement. It's an amazing diversity that we have here. And if you were to look at a spiritual cross-section of our community, we would range from being born in the pew to just beginning a spiritual journey. There is great diversity here, great diversity. And yet, with all of our difference, the body of Christ, in that body of Christ, we are one. We're this tightly knit family through a single common relationship with our Savior. So it is just as Paul said, we've all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. Harmony and unity, you know, they really find their form and their function right at the heart of God. All we need to do to see that is to consider the Trinity, this amazing, supernatural three persons in one dance. Or we need only to look at the diverse nature of creation. Deserts and tropical forests and prairies and mountain ranges and microorganisms and gigantic blue whales. All so different and yet incredibly connected and working in harmony, in pointing to and testifying to the greatness of our Creator God. See, in all that he does, there is harmony. There is a sense of unity, all pointing to the greater thing, which is love. So the importance, then, of harmony within the body of Christ is just a natural follow for us, his community. It's God's best for us. You know, as he prayed to his Father, Jesus underlined the importance of unity with those who would follow him by comparing the harmony of their relationship, his relationship with the Father, to his desire for his current and all future disciples. That's what he wanted to see for them. And he says it in John 17. I am praying not only for these disciples, but also for all who will ever believe in me, and that's you and I, through their message. I pray that they will all be one, just as you and I are one, as you are in me, Father, and I am in you. And may they be in us so that the world will believe that you sent me. See, Jesus sees the way forward for his church, for his disciples, for the expression of his love to a broken world to be found in unity. And you know, this is well beyond just a kind of an agreement here. Jesus' prayer is for harmony as he himself experiences it with the Father. Like, that's amazing. Supernatural in nature. Enduring in time and always established in love. Well, reflecting the prayer of Jesus, the Apostle Paul is passionate not only about his appeal for harmony within the church, but certainly his passion was against the potential of division. He says this in 1 Corinthians as well. I appeal to you, dear brothers and sisters, by the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ, to live in harmony with each other. Let there be no divisions in the church. Rather, be of one mind, united in thought and purpose. Paul's strong opposition to division echoes the truth of Jesus' words that are recorded in Matthew 18 when Jesus says, a house divided cannot stand. How true that is. Well, last week, I spoke about the health and the vitality of this church, and I want to encourage you, if you were not here, if you were not able to hear that, I'd like you to go to the podcast and listen to it, because it really is an important thing for you to hear, why we're healthy and why we have this vitality. So this morning, what I want to tell you is that it is because of our unity that health and vitality find room for their expression here. See, neither one of those things, neither health nor vitality, can be present where there is division or disunity. Those things just don't go together. In other words, at Living Waters, we found our health and vitality because we recognize, you and I, that a united community is much bigger and better than we could hope to be separately. Which is exactly what Jesus was getting at, and exactly what Paul prescribes over and over and over for the church. So despite our differences, despite our diverse backgrounds, professions, and Christian experience, we have gathered around the same family table because we see the value in this household, the value in common beliefs, the value of standing shoulder to shoulder, the value of working out our God-given kingdom assignment together. We see the value in these things. At the community table, we see and we celebrate not only our individual stories, and we do that every time we have a story Sunday. I love that. But we also see and celebrate their union as part of the larger story that God has to tell through his church. The world needs to see a unified church. That's what encourages them on in a relationship with Jesus. The worst thing for the world to see in the church is division, is to see argument and disharmony. But to see togetherness and unity, that is powerful. Remember, this is what Jesus said: may they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me. A church that stands unified in and through the love of Jesus, I'll tell you what, it is well positioned to influence the world that Jesus is eager for us to reach. That's why we are called to this place of harmony. You know, I've marveled and I've been so thankful for the unity of our community over these last 11 years. Thank you, Jesus. The Lord, through his people who understand its importance, has protected us from those things that bring division to his house. Things like church politics, things like power plays, things like selfish agendas and a consumer-oriented nature. God has protected us because we know it's important to stand together in unity. See, our experience here at Living Waters has been one of peace, one of purpose, and one of progression, because we have known the harmony of God. God has allowed this community to not only survive, but thrive, because while far from perfect, this community, its heart is one. Its heart is one, and its head is Jesus. Are there disagreements? Well, of course there are. Are there a variety of thoughts and hopes that are going to differ from time to time? Of course there are. Are there times that our messy brokenness means that we're going to have to own up to our mistakes and seek forgiveness and forgive others and to move on? Of course there are. But through and over it all, there is a spirit of harmony here that sees the bigger picture, that drives us to solutions rather than unending arguments that go on and on and on. There is a spirit of unity here that is immersed in the notion that we ought to first love others as Jesus has loved us. That means sacrifice along the way. That means forgiveness. That means setting our hearts and our sights first to kingdom aspirations and Jesus' purposes as one. As one. I wanted to talk about unity today, not only as a biblical imperative, but as an encouragement for all of us as we move forward into transition. The fact of the matter is, and we talked about this last week, that while this change is good for us, and I absolutely believe that it is God-ordained, change can also bring uncertainty. And uncertainty, if it is unchecked by faith, can bring uneasiness and responses that may not speak life into the unity of the family table. For example, in a time of transition, you know this, opinion and perspective are always a matter of discussion, and that's awesome. Everything's right about that. That's perfect. But these discussions need always hold to the principles of harmony and unity, to look to the larger picture, the good of the community, and ultimately to turn to the place of trusting the team that the Lord has selected to help us find a new lead pastor. Politics, personal agendas, silo thinking, protectionism, these things have never been a part of our ethos here, and they never should be. At a time of change, we all have to ensure that those things remain where they need to be, and that is outside of this community. You've heard me say it before. You'll hear me say it at least once more before we leave. Politics are not welcome in this house. There is no room here for church politics. There is no room here for personal agenda. There's only room for Jesus Christ and his desire for us. Our best way forward is, as it always has been, together moving forward in this God-breathed rhythm of the church. And so each of us has this responsibility, and our prayers and our discussions and our decisions forward, they just need to be bathed in this spirit of unity. And as he has already done, the Lord will bless it. And through that blessing, he will continue to pour in the abundant life that we've known as his church. So I'd like to leave you with just some practical thoughts of how we can best continue to engage in a harmonious transition and really hold on to this unity that we all have grown to love. These are just random thoughts that I wanted to share before I leave. Number one, stay. Stay. You know, the fact of the matter is sometimes the unknowns of transition have some consider moving on. And I want to encourage you not to do that. In fact, I want to ask personally for you not to do that. Stay with the family. Invest fully in the future of the church. Listen, don't miss out on what the Lord is about to do in this next season. Don't miss out on that. Because the Lord is at work. This next new season, I believe, is going to be an amazing one for this church. You know this. This church has never been about being pastor-centric. It's not about me. It's not about an individual. This church is about us. It's about all of us gathering at the family table together. It would break my heart if somebody were to leave this church because Linda and I were leaving. That doesn't make sense to me, to be honest. This church has never been about me. Never been about Linda. It's about Jesus Christ and how we surround him. Next is engage. I want you to engage in this transition. Don't sit back and just sort of watch it happening. Engage. Pray. Pray. You should be praying regularly for this church and for the transition. And you know, I believe, as I said last week, God's hand is already on the new lead pastor here. But I also believe that Jesus is awaiting our prayers. I think we just need to pray. And you may not have done this before, but fast. Give something up. Something that you hold maybe dear, like lunch. and take that time to pray, specifically about transition. Just fast something. You know, the Lord honors prayer and fasting. It's something that we're called to do as Christians, and I believe it's important for us to do. So pray and to fast. and engage by supporting the transition team, this great group of women and men that have gathered together that are going to help us find that new lead pastor. Pray for them as they go through this important process of finding a candidate. And when you have the opportunity coming up, because you will, to attend a community meeting and to meet ultimately a candidate for the lead pastor role and to hear that person share their vision and their perspective, don't sit at home. Listen, that's going to be way better than a hockey game. You need to come. You need to participate. You need to hear. You need to pray. You need to be a part of the healthy dialogue that comes. And listen, when it comes time, and if you are a member of this church, you need to engage in that process. If you're a member of Living Waters, you need to come, because part of that process says that you will vote for that next new lead pastor. And if you're a member, you need to come. And my hope is that I check things out on Facebook. I'm going to see the little note there that says, it was amazing, but 100% of our membership showed up for the vote. Come on, that would be so cool. I want you to remember what I said last week. Transition is not happening to us. It's happening through us and for us. And that's what engagement is all about. Next thing, be patient. Allow the process to take the time that it needs. You know, finding a new lead pastor may take more or less time than you expect it to, but please, just be patient with the process, whatever it is. It's a good process. And be steadfast in that prayer and fasting, and just await the Lord's timing, because the Lord's timing is always the best timing. And listen to this. We don't need to be in a rush. It may take a short time or a long time, but we don't need to be in a rush, because we have a ministry team here that's amazing. They operate very well, thank you very much, without a lead pastor. And they have been doing that for the last 11 years. I can say that now. We got a great team here, everybody. We're going to move along, and it's going to go along without a hitch. We've got a team here that God has brought. And so, yeah, just be patient. Let's wait the timing of the Lord. The next thing is be positive. Be positive. Throughout this process ahead, stay positive. Just be full of faith and remember that God has this, that this is a God-ordained a transition, and so that we can move on to these bigger and even greater things that are going to honor Jesus and allow us to move forward in kingdom accomplishments. So there's every reason to be positive about this. Yes, we can be sad. Saying goodbye is sad, but we ought to be positive about what God has for us. Let's all commit to being glasses half full rather than half empty. Let's actually, by faith, commit to having glasses that are three quarters full rather than half empty. Let's just hold on to being positive. This place is a place of, I don't like the word, but I'm going to use it, positivity. It's good. It's good. Here's another thing. Be faithful. Be faithful to the health and the vitality of this community. I want you to support our team. They're going to be running a little shorthanded over the next little while. You know, this is a big transition for them too, because we're family. But would you just surround our team, pour love on them, encourage them? These guys are amazing, and they need to hear your voices along the way. I want you to support and encourage our interim lead pastor. You had an opportunity to meet him a couple of weeks ago. Fred Fulford is an amazing guy, and I'm so glad that he will come. But welcome him as we always welcome others. But just let him know that we're thankful that he's given up. You know, the day that he came here, or that actually the day that he and I met to talk about this transition and him being an interim pastor, was his first day of retirement. Guy's in his 70s, and yet he wants to do this. So let's encourage Fred. Encourage him along the way. And I want you to hear me on this. I need you to support and love the new lead pastor. I want you to support and love the new lead pastor that God has for this church. Give her or give him time to adjust to the role. Give them time to discover the beauty and the strengths of this community. Just allow them the time that they need. This is this is quite a thing that you're going to have to do. So give them that time. And please hear me on this. Please refrain from unhealthy comparison. Don't compare this new lead pastor to this old lead pastor. Let that person stand as God has brought them to be. Don't say things like, well, Doug used to do this, or don't do that. I don't believe that's helpful. Just let them stand for how God has called them to be. We've got to trust the new lead. We've got to trust the new lead to help bring us to this incredible season that God has for his church. He will need your unity and he will need your harmony. She will need your unity and she will need your harmony, whomever it is. Here's the last thing. Rejoice. Rejoice. Remember. In the Old Testament, the Israelites would leave markers to remind them of God's faithfulness. So let's continue to honor God for all that he's accomplished here. This is amazing. Don't ever forget it. God has grown his church. He's multiplied his church, and he's got much more ahead. So honor God for all that he has done for that. Praise him for the community that we have. Praise God for the unity and the harmony that we have here in this house. Give thanks to God for the way that he's charted for us this kingdom course and continues to call his church onto that course, because this course is, hear me on this, a world-changing mission. That's the destiny of Living Waters, and it has been from the very beginning. God knew what this church would look like, and God's destiny is upon this church. We're to love others as Jesus has loved us. We are to reach the lost, the broken, and the poor. We are to do things that are well above our capacity as individuals, well above it. But together, in unity and harmony, this church will continue to accomplish things that we never dreamed possible. We've already seen that happen. And I'm telling you, we will continue to see that happen in faith. In faith. Would you stand up, everybody? I'd like to leave us with a benediction, the benediction that we began with today. And this is my prayer for you. May we be a choir, not our voices only, but our very lives singing in harmony, in a stunning anthem to God and Father of our Master Jesus. Amen and amen. God bless you, everybody. Let's all go out unified, but not all at the same time because the door's not big enough. But mothers, you're going to get a flower as you go out. You're going to get a chocolate as you go out. And once again, we want to wish you a happy Mother's Day. Everybody enjoy your Sunday. We'll see you next Sunday.